Musicians, we need your help. Please, yes. Please turn to another hymn. This is a bonus issue. Number 246. It is of immediate relevance to our message. 246. This is a prayer asking the Lord to help us as we go into the message, that He will open our eyes, that we may see wondrous truth out of His Word. So please follow in the words of Him 246. Oh.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Then on thy hand a wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine, open my ears that I may hear wonders through thou sendest clear. And while the waves are on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me. Spirit divine, open my mouth and let me sing. Glen warm truth everywhere. Open my heart, let me prepare love with thy children to share. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my heart, illumine me. Spirit divine.
Thank you, musicians. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, the head of the church and our blessed Redeemer, we thank Thee for Thy holy word, inspired, inerrant, and infallible, given to us over the ages, that out of Thy preserved word we may learn wondrous truths. O Lord, come and be our teacher, for we know that without Thee we can do nothing. We cannot learn the eternal truths Thou hast for us, hidden in Thy inspired word. Lord, please come and speak to every humble, obedient heart, that we may learn again, perhaps anew, the truth Thou hast for us tonight. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn to John's Gospel, chapter 14. An introduction to tonight's message, John's Gospel, chapter 14. By the way, Sunset Gospel Bible Fellowship has been our ministry for 31 years without break on any Sunday. And for that, we must thank God for letting us have this forum, this pulpit, where the word of truth is spoken, taught, and received with thanks. The disciples of Jesus were very worried, for their teacher was going to leave them. And Jesus said to them, "Let not your heart be troubled." And I say the same to you, dear friends. Sunset Gospel Bible Fellowship is a time of worship, as well as a time of learning. And you learn, I learn also. You were expecting me to say, I teach, you learn. No, but it is more important that we all understand the learning of the Word of God is not the pastor. It is the Holy Spirit. The pastor is the instrument to explain to you. And if God will give to him the truth, then we all learn together. Isn't that great? Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." You come tonight, what for? To worship. More important, to learn and to carry back a lesson. What lesson is there for us to learn tonight? I say, something you perhaps already know. And as I said, the teacher tonight is the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? Verse 16 of chapter 14. Before we go into the text proper, this is by way of introduction that you will understand. Here the Lord says, "I'm going. You're worried. Let not your heart be troubled." Now look at verse 16. "I will pray the Father. He shall give you another comforter." This is not a hope. This is a definite statement of a certainty. He shall give you another comforter, like me. When I'm with you, Jesus says, 3 years, any moment of the day, day and night, day in, day night, day in, day out, whatever you want to know, I tell you, you are comforted. Now I am going and you feel pretty nervous. Jesus says, "I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." How wonderful! Do you know that this church has sustained the gospel message without fail, without dilution, without changing course midstream and preach another gospel? How come? We've been here 31 years, but in that time span, some churches have fallen away and no longer teach what they ought to teach, the Word of God, without dilution, without manipulation. Oh, dear friends, thank God we are steadfast, not by our own strength, but Jesus says, "I will send you another comforter." Someone like me to comfort. The word of comfort doesn't mean that you're sad only, but you feel inadequate, nervous. Jesus says, "Do not be, because I will send someone like me Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless, without help. The help that you have experienced for 3 years will not end when I ascend to heaven. The same Comforter will come, the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? Answer, the Spirit of Jesus. That is why Jesus could say, go and preach the gospel and I am with you always. Even unto the end of the world, I will be with you. So any moment, any time when we meet together, we can call on the name of the Lord. We're going to have a Bible study. Lord, be with us. Open our eyes as we have sung to teach us. Then in verse 26, Jesus says to us and says to you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, now he explains so that there will be no doubt in your understanding. For if you do understand, it makes a world of difference in your comprehension, in your way of life, in your understanding what you read. How can you understand? Verse 26 says, the Comforter is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. And what did Jesus say? I will send you another Comforter like me. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So who is the Holy Comforter? Who is he? Jesus. Amazing, isn't it? So you can feel him near you. Of course, you can't see him because he's spirit. But be very sure he is in our midst by promise. So read on verse 26. Whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Amen. Thank God. Then tonight, we can understand what we are going to read. Otherwise, there is a lot of mystery. Perhaps you get puzzled, perhaps even doubting. Now to our text, the text that we have been following, talking of the perils of the time. What are the perils of the time? It's not the financial meltdown followed by economic downturn. You may lose your job. Wow, that is a peril, isn't it? No, we're not talking of those things. The peril today is the subversion of the truth of God. By whom? By the church. By people who are appointed to stand in the pulpit, and they come with another gospel, something else. That is the peril. Now let's read 2 Timothy chapter 3. Remember, that is our theme for this quarter. And the theme for tonight is never able to come to the truth. Referring to a group of people who attend church, who come possibly faithfully, regularly, seemingly learning, and they never come to the truth. How can it be? So this is a puzzling theme, and I would say in some ways a fearful theme, frightening theme. To tell you that perhaps in our midst, I pray that there should be none, but possibly and definitely in many churches, there are loads of people who come thinking they are learning the truth. They are not. They are learning something else. And they think they have the truth. Now read the first verse. This know also that in the last days, when are the last days? Answer is now. We are living in the last days. The last days are the days after the Lord's ascension, before his return. And we are now 2,000 years since these words were written. How near can it be? I want to impress on all of us here, we do not live in easy times. Can just take it easy, everything will go business as usual. It will be all right, I say. No, it will be all right for those who trust in the Lord, who are walking with Him and according to His will, who are doing His will. It will be all right. For all the rest, it will be a greatest disaster coming ahead for them. Now read again, please. This know also, in the last days, today, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. These five verses describe a very deadly scenario, they call it today. Of what? Of churchgoers. Those who go to church in masses, thousands, and they think they're all right because they are taught everything will be all right. It is a time of health and wealth. You just keep coming, be regular with your offerings, all will be well. Health and wealth is yours. But live how you like. As you have lived, keep on living. So there are a lot of people who are deluded. They think it is all right. You ask him, how are you? I'm fine. And they think they are Christians. Read on. Verse 7. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is a shocking statement that ought to awaken us all up. Does it possibly include me or you? I say, God forbid. This is a statement that refers to certain people possibly coming to church regularly, possibly not, but they think they are Christians, but they are very far from the kingdom of God because they do not have the truth. You say, how can it be? I say, fact is stranger than fiction. I name you a name called Judas Iscariot. You know him, don't you? Tell me about Judas Iscariot. Who was he? He was one of the 12 disciples, right? Of course. Who chose him? Jesus. What did he do? He followed the Lord. He was one of the 12. And day in, day out, he followed the Lord. Did he hear the gospel? The truth spoken to him? Yes. Did he help the Lord in all that he did? Miracles, healings, teachings, feeding 5,000. Was he one of those who distributed the fish and the bread? Of course. He did just what the rest did. Everything he did. Seemingly a believer. But this verse describes, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. For he had an agenda. For when he joined and Jesus called him, he said, oh, pretty good. Now I'm inside. But in his heart, he never repented. Can there be such a person? Is it possible? I say, you say, impossible. I say, yes, almost impossible. But when I read the story of Judas, wow. You don't know that Jesus even let him eat the Last Supper, gave him the bread and allowed him that fellowship, let him drink the cup, and even told him that you have to do it. In other words, go and betray me. Which he did. I say, amazing. So if that could happen to Judas, may not be able to happen to one of us here. I say, be careful, therefore. Open my eyes, O Holy Spirit, that I may understand the truth. That reading and hearing this story of Judas, I may promise the Lord, Lord, help me, that I will follow the Lord Jesus with a whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and go with Him all the way, even if need be to the death. I want to follow Him, because I know He is the Lord of life, and if I follow Him, He will save me to the end. Let me be true to Him, and never to be a Judas. So this is by way of introduction. He asked me, how is it? 3 years. It's like Bible college, you know. And here you have private tuition. Any time of the day or night, Jesus will be teaching and Judas will be absorbing. How come he did not understand? Oh, my friends, there is a verse in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Yes, 1 Corinthians 2, 14. Here the apostle writes to us, and may the Holy Spirit illumine your heart with this verse, to understand the meaning of this verse to us. It says here, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You may attend Bible college, seminary, university, but unless and until your heart is converted from the natural carnal man to a spiritual person, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, born again by the Spirit of God, you cannot understand the truth of God. This is what it says. I didn't say it. But I say it is a very serious verse. It applies to anyone. You cannot assume if I go to a good Bible college and I graduate there, I will be all right. You cannot assume that. It is the Holy Spirit, because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And unless you are broken down and surrendered entirely, totally to the Holy Spirit and say, please, Holy Spirit. And who is the Holy Spirit? Jesus. The Spirit of Jesus. Please come and be Lord of my life. Lord of my thinking. Lord of my direction, my ambition. Take over my complete being, so that I will yield to the Holy Spirit, that I may think the thoughts of God, given by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. Then you begin to understand what the Bible says. Then you begin to walk the way of God, and to obey His holy law, and to be part of His holy church. Today, the greatest folly is the church at large. Mega churches, exalting in numbers. We're so big, so big. Bigness means good. I say, no. Only God is good. Only when the Spirit of God is in charge. And only when you think the thoughts of God and obey the law of God and follow the way of God, surrendered completely unto Him, is your life such a life. Only then can you be confident that you are accepted of God. So
Read this verse again. The natural man.
You must change from the natural man to the spiritual man. And only the Holy Spirit can do it for you. If you say, well, I got the BTH, therefore I'm all right. I say, no, it may not be all right. But you must have the degree of BA, born again, by the Spirit of God. And every day walking with the Spirit of God, walking with God, obeying Him and illumined by His Word,
then you are all right. The natural man, oh dear friends, when you are changed and transformed from the natural man, you will receive the things of the Spirit of God because you have the spiritual man. Amen.
Now, question. Why did Jesus choose Judas? It's amazing. It's an interesting and pertinent question, isn't it? So why did Jesus? Why didn't He leave him out? Answer. Jesus Himself says, that the Scriptures may be fulfilled. God has a plan. Even the choosing of a traitor, even the allowing of him to be part of the 12, even allowing him eventually to betray Jesus, is part of God's plan.
So it is foretold, both in Psalms and in Zechariah and other parts of the Scriptures, so that God's word is infallible.
But this man is what Jesus says, woe unto him by whom the sinful act is performed. Woe unto him. For he is responsible for what he ever did. What then must we do, dear friends? I want you to turn to Matthew's Gospel so that we have a further insight into what was happening. What is happening in the world today? What is happening in the church today? As I mentioned earlier on, many churches are full of unbelievers. Can it be? Non-Christians, of course, in inverted commas, Christians. They are in the church, but they are not of the Lord Jesus Christ. What has happened? How can it be? And our Lord Jesus explains very clearly. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. Verse 10 of Matthew chapter 13. The disciples came and asked Jesus, why do you speak to us in parables? Verse 11. Here the Lord Jesus answered and said, because it is given to you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but not to them. Unless the Holy Spirit illumines you. And the Lord Jesus explained to the disciples, they could not understand what those stories were about. Earthly stories with heavenly meaning. They're not easy to understand. Of course, you hear a story. It's interesting. But what does it mean? Read on, please. Verse 11. Because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. These stories refer to the kingdom of heaven. And that is what we're interested in tonight. We're not here to talk of the three kingdoms in China or some fairy tales, some fables. We are here to talk about what is ahead for us. The kingdom of God is our focus. Verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. those people who do not have discernment, the Spirit of God in them to cause them to understand the spiritual things, for spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And they are carnal, they are outsiders, they cannot understand. That's why Jesus says, I tell you these stories, parables with deep meanings, spiritual meanings. Do you have it? Can you understand? Verse 13. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing hear not, neither do they understand, because these are spiritual things. So this is why Jesus spoke in parables. Verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, who says, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Have eyes and see not, have ears and hear not, because you listen to the whole thing and you say, that's rubbish. Interesting but meaningless. Verse 15, for the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see and hear and understand and should be converted, and I should heal them. So this is explanation of the parables that Jesus was telling, why the unconverted, the masses, they hear and they means nothing. Now, look on to verse 24. Jesus here told another parable to explain to us what is the meaning of learning through their lives and not understanding. Listening to the words of Jesus and getting nothing out of it. Verse 24. Another parable he put forth, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. What are tares? Tares are nonsense plants. They look like wheat, produce something like wheat, but it is totally, utter rubbish. Inedible, worth nothing, only imitation of wheat, tares. Now, who came? Jesus says, the sower goes and sows wheat. Then another sower comes and sows tares among the wheat. Here we have a picture of a mixed bag of people in a church. Some are true believers, some are false believers. Verse 26. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Look alike, but very different. Absolutely, totally, fundamentally different from wheat, because it produces nothing that is of worth or value for eating as food. So the servants of the householder came and said to them, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in your field? Then where did these tares come from? Verse 28. He said to them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said to him, wilt thou then that we go and cut them down, gather them up? And the master says, no, lest while you gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather together first the tares, bind them, and burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. This group of people who have been learning and never come to the truth of God are like tares. What shall we do? Can you clean them up from the churches? Jesus says, no. No need to. Let them grow up together. Even in the church, Even if you know what you do, try and convert them, speak to them lovingly that they may repent from their unbelief and come in trust, but do not move them out. Expel them, excommunicate because you are not a believer. No need to. The Lord says, the time will come on the judgment day, God will deal with them. Amen. So we understand, in a church there is always the risk of the enemy coming in. That is why we are so careful. Careful about who the pastor is. Careful about office bearers, all those who come in as Sunday school teachers, session members, any committee member of any importance at all must be tested and sifted, tried, until we are very sure, because they may be agents of the enemy who come in to sow tares, and then the church will be in great danger. I will read to you, in closing, that we may all take home the message. Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And check on yourself, dear friends. Never be so sure. But the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And when it is read in the Spirit, check on yourself. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Which category do you belong to? The true believers of God, the wheat, or are you a tare? Check through. These verses, 2 to 5, describe the tares, those who do not have the Spirit of God, do not believe in the truth of God. They are lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. They defile the name of God, use it as a swear word, and they feel nothing about it. They do not really revere the name of God. How can they be in the church? And yet they are. Disobedient to parents, for if a man has the Spirit of God in him, he will obey the commandments, honor thy father and thy mother. He will be grateful to parents. But when you see someone in the church who cares nothing for parents, disobedient, disrespectful, and dishonoring parents, watch out. Verse 3, without natural affection, feels no compassion, no pity for others. Truth breakers, they think nothing of breaking an agreement and tearing to pieces what they've agreed to with another person. False accusers, incontinent, uncontrolled, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, that is very proud and very self-conceited, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I was reading a weekly article this morning, and there are some people who teach, oh, gambling is all right, as long as you don't gamble big. And yes, control gambling, and enjoy yourself. It is a kind of pastime. Why not play mahjong? It's all right. Small stakes and you'll be fine. I said, these things are not the teaching of God. Thou shalt not covet. Covers the whole range of activities under gambling. Just because you don't go public, playing golf and waging each other money, Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Coming to church, calling themselves Christians, even office bearers in the church, and living like the world, without shame. From this sort, turn away. Turn away. For these, verse 7, they ever learn, they pretend to learn, but never come to the knowledge of the truth. How sad. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous truth out of thy holy book. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, teach us evermore the peril of the end times, that the adversary, the enemy, is out to sow tares in our midst, to mislead and to betray the truth in our midst. O Father in heaven, may your Holy Spirit defend your people. Give us evermore faith and spiritual discernment from thy Holy Spirit of promise, that your people here will understand fully what it is to believe in the words of the Holy God. In his name we pray. Amen. We